Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with the birthday boy, Bill Pratt, celebrating the century mark this weekend with friends and family in Fresno, California. That milestone is even more impressive when you consider where he was just before his 20th birthday back in December of 1941 aboard the battleship USS Nevada at Pearl Harbor.
War was imminent with Japan, and we were expecting it. And it was getting more imminent all the time until it happened.
So you know, general quarter sounds, you go down to that room, and you told us you're all alone, and then the lights go out. You're all alone, the lights go out, and a lot of times in those situations, they dog down those hatches. Were you trapped in there where you were?
Well, I thought I would have been. My battle station was down there in one of these compartments, and the shaft would run through it, and in case the automatic lubrication stop where you're supposed to oil the shaft. Look, report leaks, and just generally be there to report anything. You were dogged in. You wasn't supposed to get out. They had the watertight door closed. I was in the first compartment, and there was a hatch there, but we weren't supposed to open it, and we didn't. It was dog closed. It went to the engine room.
Well, and I bring that up because, you know, we know now what happened with the Nevada on December 7th, and your ship did some things that no other ship in the harbor did, but there were 60 of your shipmates killed and over 100 wounded, and your ship was hit by a bunch of bombs and torpedoes. So if the ship had gone down, you would have had no way of getting out. You would have been trapped in that room, right?
That's right. Of course, Pearl Harbor is shallow, but still your compartment would have been flooded. The battleships that sunk, they would sink, they'd rest on the bottom, they'd sink down as far as they could go, and the top side would still be above water. But all of the interior compartments would be flooded.
So as this is unfolding, and there's the first wave of the attack, and your ship is hit, and we know that because there wasn't a ship outboard of the Nevada, it was able to get underway and start moving around the harbor a little bit. And so as that's happening, is there something that you have to do at your duty station, or are you just kind of...
When I was in the engine room, my battle station in port is in the starboard engine room, and I run some pumps with it. We pumped all the liquids, water, fuel, whatever was pumped in a steam pump. And those pumps were located in the engine room, down on the lower deck. And my station was down there running those pumps, seeing that they were two pumps for every function. If one pump stopped, you're supposed to start the other. But in some cases, you needed both pumps running. That's where I was, in port. That was my battle station. But after the ship got underway, I had to go back to the shaft alley.
So I've just... You know, I'm trying to imagine myself in your shoes. You are a couple weeks shy of your 20th birthday. You're all alone in this room. The lights go out. You feel the ship shaking. But, I mean, are you a little bit scared in that moment? What's going through your mind?
Absolutely. I thought the end had come. And you're sitting there in the darkness by yourself. I really thought it was over. And of course, you do a lot of things that you... even pray that you'll get out there. And, well, I could do nothing but sit there and wait because I was in the darkness. I couldn't see what I was doing anyhow. And we didn't know. I didn't know where the water was leaking in the back compartment, but it wasn't. It was leaking into compartments beyond me. The compartment I was in didn't take on any water. But anyhow, we had to stay there. Finally, the lights come back on. They got the generators running. They got the lights back on. They assessed the damage, and they let me out of the shaft alley. They opened the door and called me out. I was glad to get out of there, too.
I was going to say, you said that, you know, when you're alone in the dark and you thought it was the end, that you were praying. And I imagine when the lights came on and they let you out, that probably felt like an answer to prayer.
Yes, but it didn't happen right away. there is some things you can do, and you try to do them, but it's on your battle station. You're not supposed to leave. You're not supposed to open the door. There's a watertight door that goes to the engine room, but you're not supposed to open it. At that time, we were pretty patriotic. We were taught that it was a dishonor to leave your battle station and do something you what it's supposed to do, and we all done what we were told to do, no matter what. And I never tried to open the door. It had to be opened from the other side, because if it was flooded, you'd be flooded too. But anyhow, I didn't, and I waited until I seen they were opening the door. But the guy told me, he says, "We're abandoning the ship. Let's get out of here." I got out of there in a hurry. I followed him up. Me and him were the last two out of the engine room. We had to go up a ladder. It was a metal ladder, a zigzag ladder that took us out of the engine room up to the third deck. And we got out of there, and they closed that hatch. It had a big hatch there, that watertight hatch that you could close. When we got out, they closed that hatch and dogged it down. But I went on up to the top side. But I didn't know what to do. I just done what everybody else did. I stand around, and the deck crews were in charge of the protection of the deck, and they were doing all the shooting and everything. We didn't have guns. We sort of just survived it till the end, till it was over.
Well, and here's, you know, so I understand. Again, what the Nevada did that morning, a lot of people have heard the story. You did get underway, you're navigating the channel. Then there's this fear because your ship's been hit by several more bombs. They say at least 6 bombs hit the ship, maybe as many as 10. But while you're trying to sail out of Pearl Harbor, you're hit by all these bombs. Then they're concerned that you're going to block the channel and trap everyone. So they send your ship over to Hospital Point to run aground. So is that when you came topside, when they'd run aground at Hospital Point?
Yeah, they backed the ship up as far as it'd go at Hospital Point. It was a sandy beach and it was sloping.
And one more thought on that, because, you know, the fear, the reason they ran them aground is that fear they're going to sink and block the channel, given what you've told us about where you were and what the situation was. If the ship had gone down in the channel, guys up top would have been able to abandon ship. You would have been out of luck, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't be here.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Just wanted to get that straight. So they run the ship aground, and that's when you're let out of there. They undo the hatch, and you come topside. And you've been hearing all this. You've been feeling when the ship was hit. But when you could see up top, you know, in the open air at Pearl Harbor, what kinds of things did you see?
Well, the ships I could see were sunk at their pier, and they had sunk down as far as they go. The harbor's shallow, and they could sink down to it till they sitting on the bottom top side. The top deck was still above water, and that's what I seen, all these ships sitting there with their top side. They were sunk, but the top side still above water, and the men would they were issued guns, and they'd shoot at everything that moved.
I imagine there's a fair amount of smoke in the air too.
Yeah, yes there was. It was a confusing mess. You didn't know what to expect if you what to the top side, but that's the way it was. The channel is not that wide coming in and out, and if you blocked the channel, then the ships couldn't go out.
So could you see the Oklahoma upside down and the Arizona still burning and the other ships that had suffered damage?
Yes, good. I had some naval pictures that were taken during the attack.
How hard was that to see? I mean, you'd never seen anything like that before, probably never felt or smelled anything like that before.
No, I hadn't. But, you know, you don't know what to expect until you go up and see it. And most of the ships were sitting on the bottom, but their top deck was out of water, and that's where the men were. They could go up to the main deck and still be above the water.
Were you trying to find your brother?
No.
Not yet.
No, I don't know. You're thinking about other things, and you're thinking about surviving, really. What happened is the Nevada backed up on the beach at Hospital Point and settled on the bottom with her top side above water. and her stern was high and dry because it's almost out of the water.
So where did you go?
Well, I put on topside, and they give me a rifle. They give us a rifle, and we shot at everything that moved because we didn't know whether they were going to invade the islands or not. They usually do after they bomb it good. The landing forces come in and take over, but they didn't. They didn't.
What kinds of things were you doing for the rest of that Sunday?
Well, we had to wait on that Nevada. We was up on the bow. Of course, we wasn't in danger of the thing sinking. It was always sitting on the bottom until a motor launch come and got us. We had two motor launches on the Nevada, but they could only get to one motor launch. The other one the crane wouldn't bear it over to the water, across the ship. And a lot of men left on that first motor launch that left the ship. But the rest of us had to wait until a boat came and got us. And it took us to Army barracks on the base. They fed us, and they kind of organized the thing so that if they needed men, they would take them from that pool of men that were without a ship, their ship had been sunk, and they'd made it to shore.
There were 60 men from your ship who died that day. Did you know any of those guys?
I'd known of them. I didn't have any close friends that died, but I had known of some of those guys. They were 5th Division. None of my immediate friends died. They were all with me. And they come through it together.
When did you get to see Basil? And what was that like? What'd you guys talk about?
Well, I was taken back to Pearl Harbor. They had barracks there for Army or for when we needed them. And we needed them, so they used them. They opened them up and used those barracks. I stayed there. They fed us and gave us a place to sleep for 2 or 3 days. And in that time, Basil found me. He was looking for me, and he found me. He was in that same bunch, too. He was in that same group of men that I was in.
One of the things, you know, again, some of the patterns that I hear from a lot of the people I've talked to who were there, a lot of them say, you know, it was weeks, maybe months before their families knew whether they were alive or dead. What did your parents know about you and your brother?
Well, I wrote a letter as soon as the thing was over, and they encouraged us all to write home. And I did, and let my mother know that Basil and I were okay.
They came through and handed everybody postcards and said, write your family?
Postcard, yeah. They had special postcards that they could handle and take them out and get them delivered pretty easy. I mean fast, not easy, but fast. Get them to a delivery point anyhow.
You know, it's been 80 years, and I know this is something you lived through, and it's become a part of who you are and a part of your story. But, and this is a long time ago to go back to how it felt, but can you help the rest of us understand how shocking that whole situation was or how you received this new reality?
Well, it is just a helpless feeling that you realize you're in a situation you can't do anything about. This thing was coming upon you, and you expect to die. You don't think you're going to get out of it alive because it looks bad at first. That's the kind of situation I was in. It looked very bad at first, but as things developed, it began to look better, and we had assistance from other ships in the fleet and other departments that helped us. I don't know, you just quit worrying, I guess, and go on with the program.
Well, it's time for this program to take another break, but we'll hear more from Pearl Harbor survivor Bill Pratt when we come back, including some memories from his time aboard the submarine, the USS Tuna. You'll also hear a powerful story about his mother, told by Bill's wife of nearly 68 years, Pauline. If you know the Pratts, make sure you wish Bill a happy 100th birthday this weekend. And even if you don't know him, I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.